From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
We are continuing on in our study of the Holy Spirit. And there's so much in Ephesians 4 and chapter 5 to deal with the Holy Spirit. I want you to look tonight at verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. This morning we talked about our body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are His dwelling place. We ought to put great emphasis on keeping the temple clean and pleasant for His presence. But tonight I want to continue on that vein of thought. The fact that anything we do that defiles His temple grieves Him. If you're here this evening, it's because you have a mother. And you know, oftentimes, your restraint in life was thinking about the fact that if you did that, most likely, you would grieve your mother. Some of us have, at times, seen the grief in our mother's eyes. I remember years ago, sitting at a table with our entire family, and one of my siblings brought up a story in our youth that my mother had not heard. And 25 years after the incident had taken place, when she heard about what her children had done, you could see the utter despair and the grief on her face that we caused her 25 years after the fact. Now, if we can grieve our mothers, imagine how much more grief it is, because the Holy Spirit is such a personal influence and friend in our lives. And when He sees us doing things that defile the temple and going against the Word of God, it grieves Him. But here's what we forget often when we're looking at a text to put it in the context. When we do that, we understand the verses preceding and the verse after. It's in the context of the tongue, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away. So I want to preach tonight on the subject of grieve not the Spirit with your tongue. And go with me to James chapter 3 for a minute. And I want to notice tonight why the tongue would grieve the Holy Spirit. James 3 verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue, look what it says, is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed to mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, there are very obvious reasons here why the tongue and the use of our tongue, the ill use of our tongue, would grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls it a fire. Anybody that's been burned knows the grief and the severe pain that is caused by fire. Anybody that's seen a forest fire, I have several times, both at Yosemite National Park and in Alaska, Colorado, and other places, seen the devastation of forest fires. And to think the devastation that tongues have caused, literal devastation in churches that have ended up closing the door of those churches and ruined the ministry of pastors and destroyed friendships because a tongue that was set on fire of hell destroyed someone else in a friendship. The Bible calls it a world of iniquity. Isn't it amazing the terminology that God uses? Speaking of this little member right here, a world of iniquity. It says, defileth the whole body. Now, this was the subject of this morning's message, that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And he said, this member right here can defile the entire temple, the entirety of the body. And then in verse 8, the Bible calls it a deadly poison. Now, those are some very obvious reasons why the Holy Spirit would be grieved if we use our tongue in the wrong manner. It burns, it hurts, it injures, it defiles, it poisons. Now, keep your place there for just a moment. Go back with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's look at three different areas that God addresses here when it comes to the tongue. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication. Then in verse 31, that bitterness and anger that produces evil speaking should be put away. But go back with me first to 25 that says, wherefore putting away lying. So the first sin addressed by the tongue in this chapter is the lying lips. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. We know lying lips burn and poison those around us. Now, here's what's so standing in our society, that lying is so acceptable. And here's, parents, what ought to cause you grave and great concern. When a young person begins to lie, they quickly lose track of the truth. And they come to the point where truth becomes whatever comes out of their mouth rather than what is factual. And for Christians to find themselves in this spot, very normal. We're talking about simple exaggeration of the facts. Speaking with the intention of deceiving. Withholding just enough information so you're planting something in someone else's mind that is untrue. The withholding of truth, the bearing of false witness, the twisting of facts. Now here's why that'd be grievous to the Holy Spirit, because John 8:44 says, you're of your father, the devil, the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And then what does the scripture say? When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar. And for us to speak a lie, we're following after an ancient father, our old father, Satan. We've been born now into the family of God. We're supposed to speak the truth. We're supposed to speak as he speaks. And if there's anything that you make sure to discipline in your home, this ought to be one of the primary reasons you should never overlook a lie out of one of your children, out of the mouth of your child. You ought to say, no, no, you are grieving the Holy Spirit. For you to say anything but the truth, for you to withhold the truth, for you to stretch or twist the truth, for you to try to give me an impression that goes contrary to the truth. And parents, the best way to make sure that those kids end up honest is for you to be honest. Everyone in your house ought to know that the truth is first and foremost in the school and in the college. As some would say, Pastor, would you show grace? Absolutely, based on one thing, the truth. When sitting down with a student that's broken the rule, we never go in ignorant, but we always say, listen, if you want mercy, and I guarantee you do, all you need to do is tell the truth the first time. And if this is not taught in our homes, they quickly become a part of a society that is filled with lying, where lying is acceptable. And who would have ever thought that we'd arrive at this moment in American history where no one can be trusted, the press can't be trusted, the news can't be trusted. They call it fake news when it is based on a fable, a lie. The source is a lie, the subject is a lie, the news story is a lie, and it's acceptable. We brush it off by labeling it fake news when it's a blatant and bold lie. And how sad it is that we've reached that point in our society. And when you read the statistics put out about lying, it'll blow your mind. I don't know what to believe about surveys, but when they tell you the average person lies hundreds of times a day, that ought to cause you to back up, examine yourself and your family, and say, let's make sure that we're not a product of our culture where lying is acceptable behavior. Any lie that comes out of the mouth of a Christian grieves the Holy Spirit. There is no big, bold lie and a small lie, white lie. That is a lie. Ananias and Sapphira came up and lied about an amount of money, which to us would seem very insignificant. And God took it so seriously that he mentioned it to Peter. Peter asked him, why is the devil put in your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And he and his wife fell down dead. Now here's why lying grieves the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. Now here's why it grieves the Holy Spirit. He knows when a person speaks a lie, that's a show, that's a demonstration of hatred towards another person. That's a fire. That's poison. And the Holy Spirit is grieved. Now look at verse 29, the second thing that's addressed in this scripture concerning the tongue. Let no corrupt communication. Boy, our society and most of our speech and our culture is 90% of it falls right here in this category. That's a very large category. Corrupt communication. At some point in our lifetime, ninth grade became sixth grade, sixth grade became third grade, third grade became kindergarten. In their speech, and the vulgarity of high schoolers now is the vulgarity of young children. And now you often find children willing to cuss and to swear and the evil speech and the sexual innuendo, and it'll make the aged blush while the young laugh. The corrupt communication in the internet is only promoted corrupt communication, giving people a platform to hide behind a screen. Now they don't even have to put a name on there. If it's so healthy, why don't you put your name there and let people know what you're thinking? Look what it says. Keep your finger here and go back with me to James 3. In addressing this kind of speech, look what James says in verse 9. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therefore curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a fine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? He said, there's a problem. How is it that out of the same mouth comes unkind words and kind words, blessings and cursings? He said, that shouldn't be so. Not if we're a child of God. That's corrupt communication. And he calls it hypocrisy. You know what hypocrisy is? Acting like a Christian one moment of the day and talking like an unsaved man another moment of the day. And the point in Ephesians Paul's trying to make to this church is you grieve the Holy Spirit with your tongue when anything corrupt comes out of your mouth. Doesn't matter what the environment, doesn't matter if it's at home or school or work, behind closed doors or in the public. Literally, we have become part of our culture where that kind of speech is acceptable. And thankfully, I came on the tail end of a different generation, but those that are older than me, men that are older than me, I have golfed with them. I've played sports with them. There was just something in their conduct and something in their speech that was guarded, more cautious, and more holy. And this younger generation will say things. I've stopped people on the golf course and said, I don't care if it's just men out here or who it is. That's not the kind of speech that we participate in. Not a place on the planet that justifies or provides a moment for corrupt communication. And just because you own a cell phone or a computer doesn't mean God has given you a platform now, a place to participate in what we'd call or classify corrupt communication. If we don't understand what we're doing and the way we're being used by Satan with foul speech, we find ourselves participating in a conversation that grieves the Holy Spirit, and he says that's corrupt communication. He doesn't want to have anything to do with that. There's a lot that would fall into this category. Here's what Paul told the church there at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 12:20. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I should be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates and envyings and wrath, strife, backbitings, whisperings, swellings. This is all sin dealing with the tongue. And Paul said, as your pastor, as your founder, as your leader, if I come and hear these things, it's going to grieve me. How much more does it grieve the Holy Spirit? Gossip. Christian, why in the world would anyone participate in gossip? Talking with someone about someone to hurt someone. Leviticus 19:16 says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. It's pretty clear. Proverbs 11:9. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. So if you're ever in a conversation, you're around someone that is destroying a friend or destroying a neighbor, you can stop and say, wait. The Bible identified you in the scripture. I remember now, what was the word God used? Hold on for a second. It's coming to me. It's coming. Give me a second. Hypocrite! To participate in slander, to participate in talking about another purpose, about another person with the purpose of tearing them down, making them look bad, hurting them, that is no friend at all. People act under the guise of friendship to say, well, let me tell you something about that person. You stop right now. No friend is going to hurt my friendship with that person. So you're coming under the guise of friendship, and God calls it something totally different. He identifies it as an attack. Satan himself is called an accuser of the brethren. You're doing a work of Satan that grieves the Holy Spirit. Gossips love to take some kind of secret information that they find embarrassing to another person or shameful, and revealing that information to assassinate the character of that person. How wicked, how vile. Proverbs 16:27 states it this way, an ungodly man diggeth up evil. Diggeth it up. Something's already covered up. They go dig it up, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. We don't have to take a survey tonight and find out how many people have been hurt by gossip. And listen, if you're taking information from someone else's mouth, usually it comes with a connotation, with an agenda. Facts have been twisted. They want to plant something in your mind. I don't know how many times people have tried to prejudice my mind. Now, as a pastor, there's no way under the sun I can allow myself to be prejudiced by someone else's comment or accept what they're saying is true. I rarely investigate. I normally eliminate. I brush it off. I thank God one of the greatest gifts he's given me is a very short memory. And I don't know how many hundreds of times people come to me and say, preacher, remember what I told you? Nope. And they want to refresh my memory. Why would you want to refresh my memory? If I have forgotten, leave it there. Why would you want to be digging it up? Amen. Folks, listen, anybody that tries to make someone else look bad is trying to make themselves look good. You ought to get suspicious about that kind of behavior. We ought to be a church. Oh, the power of the tongue, and oh, the power of speech, and oh, the ability, listen, with a few words, you can make someone feel good. I was standing in line tonight, and there was a conversation that was going on in front of me, and that people were getting aggravated and frustrated. And I remember times in my life when I used to participate in that. And I sat there ashamed, saying, that's what I look like at previous moments. Participate. It doesn't matter who's wrong or who's right. You've got in your tongue the power, the Bible says, of life and death. And it's amazing how you can change someone's day, you can change someone's countenance, you can change someone's heart in just a moment. And that woman was hurt and she was frustrated, and you can tell her evening was quickly going downhill, and the Holy Spirit, you said, step up and be a blessing. When I got up there, I made sure right away, I said, thank you, I appreciate the way you dealt with that person. You were so appropriate. I said, I work in management, and there is no way I could have given anyone advice to handle that better. Thank you for doing things the right way. Her countenance changed. The power of the tongue to help change a person's day. And often when someone's having a bad day, instead of helping turn that day around, we help magnify the problems of the moment and participate in the pit. We get involved in a conversation. Oh, there are people that are very gifted in turning a conversation from negative to positive. Most of you know James Hoffmeister, and I've been around James before when we were with preachers and a conversation started to get negative, and immediately James would step in with a little comment. And everyone knows what's taking place. You just smile in your heart because the other ones don't know what to say. I've heard several times people say the same thing about Sammy Allen, who ran that Faith Baptist camp meeting there in Resaca, Georgia. What a preacher. I loved it. And he'd get up there. His hand would shake when he was 35 or 40, but he would get up there and quote scripture. Literally, I've heard him quote scripture for 35 or 40 minutes in between messages. I asked him one time how he memorized scripture. You know what he said? He got a Strong's Concordance, and he would look up blood in the Bible. He'd memorize every verse in chronological order in the Bible under the blood. And then he'd go to the next subject and memorize it. That man could quote so much scripture. But I've heard several people say, sitting there at his camp meeting, that there would be someone across the table and say, well, you know, I heard something about that preacher. I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he preached there. I can't believe he participated in that. And Brother Sammy would speak up and say, you know what? I can't believe it either. Matter of fact, I refuse to believe it. But there, if there's a small chance that he might have, maybe we right now should pray for him. And he would call every man that just mentioned his name and say, you know what, preacher? Why don't you start? You can pray for him. Then, preacher, you can be next, and you can be. And we will pray that God blesses him and helps him and strengthens him and protects him from any gossip that would go around and damage his testimony. He said, boy, by the time they finished praying, he'd shut that down. I guarantee you, we use a little bit of wisdom, we could shut down any kind of negativity or gossip towards another person. The Spirit of God is there, and the Spirit of God is grieved by the fact that we would participate in that kind of conversation. 1 Timothy 5:13 says, and with all they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house. Not only idle, but tattlers also, busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. The same thought comes to mind every time I read that text in its Facebook. Yes. Most of what goes on in Facebook is nothing more than idleness. And people now, without the need of a vehicle, can go from house to house, participating as a busybody, tattling and speaking things that they ought not. Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost part of the belly. What did we speak about earlier in James? That tongue can be a poison. I can't imagine sitting in a conversation where you know someone is offering poison to everyone in the group, and each person is swallowing their dose and leaving that conversation poisoned about another person. There was a trial without a jury or a judge. Everyone there left with a negative idea about the person that was mentioned. Not because they know, not because it was factual, simply based upon another person, the words out of a mouth with a person who had an agenda against another individual. God says that's corrupt communication. Here's why when I worked, I often avoided the break room. I wanted to avoid corrupt communication. But that was a lost world. You expected it out of a lost world and a lost man's mouth. But Christians, what we call fellowship today should not involve anything that is hurtful or harmful. I believe gossip, there's an intention there that comes with gossip, and those words are specifically formulated in the mind with the intention of leaving a negative thought in someone else's mind. How satanic, how hurtful, how wicked, how devious is that? That grieves the Holy Spirit. And if we have an active Holy Spirit in our hearts, that ought to grieve us as well. You shouldn't be able to participate in that kind of conversation. Ephesians chapter 4. Then there's a third category, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Those angry outbursts are mentioned here as something that grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, in years past, we've preached on each one of these verses, but tonight, collectively, I want to get to the point of the message in just a moment, and I don't want to re-preach a message on anger, but anything we say out of anger grieves the Holy Spirit of God. There's nothing good that's going to come out of a person's mouth when there's an angry outburst, whether that's in your home or in your marriage or with your children. Things that have been said in the hurts that have taken place in the hearts of our children. Cruel, cruel things that have been said in a moment of anger that you can never get back. How many of you have reached a point of rage? Something has slipped out of your mouth, and as soon as it did, you wanted to grab it. You wanted to retract it. You wanted to erase that from the mind of another person. But that's the only thing in the entire conversation, maybe the entire year, that they'll remember from your mouth. You got to say, I can't afford myself, that kind of damage to my reputation, my friendship, my testimony, my home, my marriage, or my children. And I shouldn't be angry. I shouldn't be an angry person. But if I am angry, that's not the time to open my mouth. That's definitely not the time to speak. That's not the time to rebuke. That's not the time to correct. I need to go cool down. I know there was a generation that the thought macho behavior was to just deal with the issue while you were angry. How we have justified anger while yet preaching the Bible, I can't quite wrap my mind around that. Christians are really good at stretching every verse in the Bible, one right here in Ephesians. Be angry and sin not. And that's me. I'm very angry, but I'm not sinning. My eyes are popping out of my head. Smoke's coming out of my ears. I'm losing my voice because of my raised voice. But I'm doing this in the Spirit. I tell your kids that. Your mate doesn't quite believe that that Spirit is led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, lying lips grieve me. Corrupt communication grieves me. Angry outbursts, that mouth speaking under the influence of anger is like a man acting under the influence of alcohol. It's out of control, and people are going to be hurt. And things are going to be said that you can never, ever retract or take back from the mind of that person that just faced your tongue as it was unleashed and dealt with the fire and dealt with the poison and dealt with the pain. But the Holy Spirit says, that grieves me. So what's the rule here? Verse 32. It's really simple. How do you like that the Word of God addresses three areas of problems where the tongue can get itself into a lot of trouble, and then he says, this is the solution. Right here, one phrase, be kind. So what's the rule that pleases the Holy Spirit when it comes to the tongue? Be kind. He said, this is my body, this is my temple, I do live here, I don't want to have to listen to that. How many of you have ever been someplace where you were listening to something and everything that was taking place just grieved you, and what did you do? You got up and you left. maybe it was a radio, maybe it was a talk show, maybe it was a television. You changed the channel, you turned it off, you unplugged the radio, or you left the room. You said, I simply don't want to participate in this conversation because what is taking place is really a grief to my soul.
Yes, sir.
I wonder how often the Holy Spirit has to say, boy, this is a grief. How can I change this, Pastor? Right here. Proverbs 30 states it this way. In her mouth is the law of... And we ought to have the same law that's operating in our mouth, the law of kindness. I want to make sure my tone is kind. I want to make sure my statement, my wording, my timing is kind and appropriate. Young people can often be very unkind. Parents, we got to emphasize this in our homes. Be ye kind. It's impossible to be spirit-filled and spirit-led and be unkind in our speech. That's impossible. Now, what do I do? Verse 15, you speak the truth in love. You don't stop speaking the truth. You just make sure that it's done in love. Now, go with me to James 1:26. The Bible states this very appropriately, very clearly. Verse 26, if any man among you seem, that's the key word. If he seems, comes to church, goes to the ritual, sings the songs, participates in the ministries, if he seems to be religious, but he bridles not his tongue, what's he doing? He deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. It's vain. God said, if there's a man, doesn't matter. Does not matter how well he matches his suit, how long he serves in the ministry, how much he sacrifices to make the work go, how often he knocks on a door, how much he reads his Bible. If he cannot control his tongue, that man's religion is vain. That's God's word. Now, why is this Christianity in vain? Here's what I want to leave here with tonight. Why is the Spirit so grieved by this member right here? Go with me to Luke chapter 6 and let's see the real reason. This morning, the entirety of the message was based on 2 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 that says, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? God dwells in us. And when the tongue is defiled, it's an indication of a bigger problem, an inward problem. Look what it says, Luke 6:43. For a good tree bringeth forth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Here's the issue. The Holy of Holies was God's dwelling place in the temple in the Old Testament. The Holy of Holies now is the heart of man because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, but primarily we're talking about the heart. That is the holy place. And here's what happens. What comes out of the mouth is a result of what is taking place in the Holy of Holies, the heart. So what you talk about is what we'd find deep in your heart. And the Holy Spirit has to live there. He resides there. That is his dwelling place. We spoke today about what had taken place in the temple and how the doors had been barricaded and the filthiness that had accumulated. And it took them 16 days to clear that out and to deal with the garbage and eliminate the filthiness and restore the vessels. 16 days. That was the accumulated garbage heap that was found in the temple. Now, what is a reflection of our heart and our holy place and what the Holy Spirit is doing, it's reflected by what comes out of our mouth. So here's why when it speaks of in Ephesians 4:30 about grieve not the Holy Spirit, and it's preceded by and followed after on the subject and in approaching the subject of the tongue and speech and communication and lying in bitterness, because the Holy Spirit said, your speech grieves me, because the source of that speech is your heart. And your heart is my holy place. And your heart is my dwelling place. And the filth coming out of the mouth is the filth that I have to live with inside of you, inside of your heart. So for those things that actually make their way out, that's not the slip of a tongue. That's a revelation of the heart. It's not a moment of anger. That's a revelation of the holy place. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm grieved by what I hear. I'm grieved by others being hurt. I'm grieved by the poison that's being shared. But more than that, I'm grieved because I live there. Yes, sir. And others occasionally have to see and listen and hear. But I live there. I reside there and I deal with the garbage because that's my house. That's my temple. So tonight, I'm asking you, this isn't a matter of saying, I'm going to change my speech. I'm going to adjust my temperament. I'm going to deal with my tongue. No, this is addressing your heart and saying, why is that coming out? If I'm filling myself with the Word of God, I'm submitting to the Holy Spirit of God, I'm feeding myself with that which is spiritual, my ear gate, my eye gate, the gates in. Listen, there's a caution there, and I'm very careful with what I allow in, because I know sooner or later it's going to come out. And I don't want the wrong things to be brought into the holy place. I don't want the wrong things to be brought into the Holy Spirit's dwelling place, because He has to live there. And He's grieved, not just by the speech, but He knows the source of the speech that's coming from His house. And He's not happy. I want a clean house, because the Holy Spirit says, if I have a clean house, you have a clean mouth. Your lips will be used for righteousness, not for unrighteousness.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, and the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.